Nice to have Randy Macho Man Savage with us in the studio. And, you know, a lot of us watch him and the other professional wrestlers, and you wonder what they're like in person. And one of the things I said to Randy, I said, I appreciate the fact that every time you've been on this show, and it's been about 5 or 6 years, you were always there. And I've always found these guys, as big as they are, Randy, to be nicer than they would appear to be. And, I mean, I think there's an image that everybody has. Is there something to being big but yet having to be the other side and being a little bit gentle?
I think big guys can put up a pretty good front. Right? Just watch out. Don't let them pick your pocket.
How did you get involved? Now, I know your dad, of course, is a Hall of Fame wrestler. Your brother was a wrestler as well.
Exactly.
But talk to me about the early days of you being initiated into wrestling.
Right. Well, out of high school, signed a professional baseball contract. Bounced around the minor leagues with the Cardinals, the Reds, and the White Sox, and had fun doing it. And then after that, that door was open for me because of my dad being a professional wrestler, and I trained real hard and bounced around the minor leagues for about 10 years in wrestling. And then finally got called up to the big leagues, just like I'm on the sports byline right now, radio-wise, you know. But WWF called me and... you know, they said that we'd like to give you an opportunity, and I just jumped on it with all 4 feet, and it was the greatest thrill of my life just to even get the, you know, it's kind of like being prepared. Preparation meets opportunity to success, and that's what happened with me.
Talk to me a little bit about when you were with your dad, you watched what he did professionally, what your images and your memories are.
Oh, when I was a little kid, man, I was just like a crazy dude because, just like he had begged me not to go with him. I always wanted to ride with him in the car to his wrestling matches. I would be sitting in the back seat, and he'd stop and pick up one of the other wrestlers like Moose Jolak or whatever, you know, Dick the Bruiser, you know, a lot of the big names at the time. And I was just like, you know, just this wide-eyed kid in the back seat, 5 years old, 6 years old, didn't matter, you know what I mean, 12 years old, you know, listening to all the stories, listening to them go back and forth. And I remember one time Yukon Moose Jolak was in the passenger seat of my dad's car, and he put his arm back just to put it back in the armrest, and that big hand hit me right square in the nose, you know, because I was right in the middle, and I had my head right between them, you know, just trying to listen and trying to drink in all this knowledge, and he knocked me out, you know, just like bang, and he didn't even know he did it, and I just went down, you know what I mean? And when I got up, I finally gathered my senses, and when I sat up, I heard Yukon Moose Cholak say, hey, Angelo, you got a nice kid and everything, but he sleeps a lot, you know what I mean? You know, so I was just like, it was in my blood, you know, since I was a macho baby, if you will, you know, just like all sports, you know, were, football, basketball, and baseball, you know what I mean? I was just like, you know, just like being a jock, you know what I mean, growing up that way. But wrestling was in my blood, so it was really not much of a transition. When I got my pink slip finally in baseball, you know, it wasn't, I didn't even blink. You know, it was just kind of like, okay, now I can try my hand at something that I always loved all my life anyway.
I remember as a kid visiting my grandparents in West Virginia, and I used to sell popcorn and peanuts at some of the things that were done in the city park, and professional wrestling would come through town. Gorgeous George, that's how far I go.
Absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, right.
And I remember how the fans got into it then, but there seemed to be an image of naturalness with it back then, that the wrestlers were in it. There may have been some bad blood between wrestlers, but the image of professional wrestling today, Randy, as compared to when your dad wrestled, what are the differences?
Well, before in the old days, you know, we thought, or the wrestlers thought, or the promoters thought, that you had to make the people believe that it was real. You know what I mean? You just, if somebody said that this match was not real, you'd almost want to fight them, you know, to protect the business. You know, that was the train of thought that was going on. And then Vince McMahon changed all that and brought it to sports entertainment. And everybody, you know what I mean, the old-timers thought that was going to kill wrestling. But I just brought it up to another level. You know, it's just kind of like watching a movie. You know that movie's not live. You know you're not watching anything that's truly going on at the time you're watching it, but you want to be sucked in. You want to believe. You want to be hypnotized for the time that you're in there, you know, and get lost in the movie. And then when the movie's over, man, you just kind of blink and you just kind of say, wow, what a movie, man. That was unbelievable how they did it, put it together. So there's an appreciation that fans today have where they can still get into the match, but at the same time knowing when they're going in, that this is entertainment, and it's all for the good of entertainment, and it's got a cult following.
Yeah. The other thing I note from even when I was back as a kid doing that, I remember this lady who was about 80 years old hitting the wrestler with her purse.
Boy, that goes on in every town. That is a stereotype now, right there. We can say that, right? Because there's one in every town.
I mean, this little
old I've lady. Got purse marks on me today.
But what is it that has transformed over the decades, the fact that the fans are so emotional about this entertainment, sport, whatever you want to call it. There, that has been the case in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s. It's always been that way, Randy.
That mystique will never change. And even though, you know, people have tried to, for what one reason or another, either destroy the business or help the business or anywhere in between, no matter what you say about it, it's one of those things where any kind of press helps wrestling. And that mystique has always been there, and that's kind of like the X Factor. It's unexplainable. It's unexplainable when that, and they have proven when that light's over the ring, and it's kind of like the light's kind of dim where everybody can kind of be in the dark, you know, but appreciate that the fact that, you know what I mean, that you're watching the ring and you kind of get lost into the emotions of the fans, like whether it's 20,000 fans or back in the old days when it was like 2,000 fans, it's just one thing that'll never change, you know, that the wrestling fans get so excited that sometimes, even today, when they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and, you know, when they take him to jail later, you know, because they hit the ring, you know what I mean? And they say, I don't know what got into me because that guy attacked the other guy from behind and I just couldn't take it anymore. I know I shouldn't have gone in the ring and tried to help the guy, but I did it and I don't know why. But, it, you know, it's something that's just kind of unexplainable.
Where did the good guy, bad guy image develop in professional wrestling? Was your dad one of those? I mean, was it always that way?
Yeah, he made his money as a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, he had the long black hair, and he had the manager in the outside that was dressed in a tuxedo. And for, 20 minutes of the match, he was trying to wrestle the good guy, and he couldn't do very good against him. But then at the end, the manager with the cane helped him win, you know, and then all of a sudden, I'm in the stands as a, you know, like a 7-year-old kid, and everybody's trying to kill my dad, you know, who was stabbed about 7 different times from fans, even getting out of the building. And I'm just like, man, they're trying to kill my dad. You know, it was just like, it was just incredible. You know, what a traumatic experience it was for me. But, you know, that's just, some people can do both, you know, like be a good guy or a bad guy the next week. And some guys are great good guys. And they make their money that way, and they could never be a bad guy. It's just their persona. It's all about the persona.
How did a young kid put that into proper perspective? I mean, you're watching violence, in a sense. You're watching your dad being beaten up and everything. How did it not scar you, Randy?
It did. That's why I got this twitch that you can hardly tell. You know? And that's what, you know, that's what's very, very, very important today, just to tell your kids, you know, as role models, that what you're seeing in the ring, what you're seeing on television, is straight up entertainment, just like it would be a movie, you know, just Cowboys and Indians, you know, and or Pearl Harbor or whatever, you know what I mean? Even though, you know, that's real close to what, you know, what happened. But what we got to do here is just explain that this is the way that they scripted it. But at the same time, you get lost in the moment, and it just it does happen, you know, and one match. The best way I can explain it is you get two guys that go out there, a good guy and a bad guy, that work together so well that they get the people in a complete frenzy where they forget all their problems at home. They forget the fight they had with their wives or whatever, you know what I mean? Or, you know, or their kids, you know, didn't finish the test or whatever it was. And they go crazy into the match. But then the next two guys out there, you know, they kind of sit back and say, I don't like this match. This match is no good. That's the difference.
What is the best piece of advice your dad ever gave you about this profession?
He told me to SYM.
What's that?
Save your money.
It's a little bit like the professional football profession in that you never know when it's going to end. I mean, injury could end your life. There's politics that come into play. And
right. Politics are definitely come into play just like they are in anything. Just like the NFL stands for not for long. You know what I mean? it's a run just like anything else. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the process. But at the same time, you got to realize that your athletic career is not as long as it would be if you were working for, you know, a major company, you know, an oil company or whatever. Of course, we have found out over the years that that gold watch is not there either. You know what I mean? So, you know, we got to figure that one out too. But just it's a wonderful living. It's a wonderful life. And you get to travel and you get to meet a lot of people and you get to work under a lot of crazy conditions because, I mean, you know, there's just no explaining. You know, I was in Korea one time and took a bus to go to this professional wrestling match, and this was a long time ago, and I'm thinking to myself, who's going to come over here? Because we went over a couple of hills, and I was just kind of like worried, you know, like what was going to happen. We went over this one hill, there was 100,000 people right there sitting down.
All of a sudden.
Right in a little ring right in the middle of it. I'm going, what is this all about? It's just crazy.
Randy Macho Man Savage has joined us and you in the studio. He's involved with Slim Jim, and we'll talk about that involvement just a little bit later on. We'll check the numbers on the scoreboard as we continue across the country and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network and the Internet. We've got you on Sports Byline.